Hello everyone, I am Pinakin Munshi. We are covering the legal aspects in supply chain management. Today we are going to discuss chapter 9, which is on Negotiable Instruments Act. As part of this chapter, we will be briefly covering the history of negotiable instruments. We will look at the features of negotiable instruments. We will also look at some of the non-negotiable instruments. Also, what do we mean by negotiations in terms of negotiable instruments, maturity of negotiable instruments, promissory notes and bill of exchange. We will look at it in a little more detail. Presentation, honor and dishonor of negotiable instruments, and then briefly we will cover hundi, checks and demand drafts. So, let's look at the history of negotiable instruments or the Act. The Act may also be called as the Negotiable Instruments Act of 1981 because it was actually implemented in 1981. It defines the law relating to promissory notes, bill of exchange and generally all instruments which are negotiable for payments. This Act was originally drafted in 1866 by the Indian Law Commission, and it was introduced in 1867, finally implemented in 1981 after certain modifications, etc. So, what are the types of negotiable instruments that we have? You have bill of exchange, you have a promissory note. We will go into the details of what each of these mean or what is unique about them. Then you have the checks, demand drafts, hundis, share and dividend warrants. Mind you, not the shares, it's the shares and the dividend warrants. Delivery orders, you know, there are companies where after you have placed a purchase order, for collecting the material, a delivery order is issued by the company. You are supposed to collect this delivery order and then go and collect the material from the designated depot or point. So, many a cases, you know, traders actually collect the delivery order and they endorse it in the name of the customer who is the final buyer. And the final buyer then goes and picks up the material. Railway receipt. Although it is not mentioned here, this applies to railway receipts, lorry receipts. So, whenever goods are consigned to a person, he gets a lorry receipt or a rail receipt depending upon the mode of transport. And the person who has purchased this goods or who is the consignee can endorse this railway receipt or lorry receipt in favor of the customer who can go and collect the material. So, these are all the some of the types of negotiable instruments. What are the necessities for a negotiable instruments? Meaning, when do you say that an instrument is negotiable? So, it has to have easy transferability, which means that you should be able to change the ownership. You should be able to transfer the ownership of the instrument to any person. It holds a valid and a complete title. Valid means legally valid title, and title means basically the claim to the value mentioned in the negotiable instruments. Right to file a suit by the transferee. So, in case this negotiable instrument is not honored, then he has a right to go and file a suit in a court of law, or he can go for certain arbitration process, etc. Notice of transfer. That means there is always a notice given whenever there is a transfer of ownership. Presumption of consideration, always a negotiable instrument is for a consideration, and it's an exchange for either a services or it could be simple in exchange for money. Easy exchange, we have already said that. Number of transfers possible, that means it's not restricted that only one transfer or two transfers can take place. A number of transfers can take place, and rule of evidence. The transfers are all evidenced and can be used you know, as a evidence even in a court of law. So, we will now look at the features of some of the negotiable instruments. And the first one being the promissory note. Promissory note is a very old instrument. When, you know, you borrow money from somebody, you are promising to pay this money back to that person. And how do you assure him that the money will be paid back to him? So, in good old days, this promissory notes were being issued, which said that by such and such date, such and such amount will be paid to the person who bears the promissory note, or it could be addressed to a person, you know, that a particular person who has lent the money, he will get the money back. So, let us look at the definition. That a promissory note is an instrument in writing, mind you, it's a written document, to pay a certain sum of money only to the order of a certain person or to the bearer of the instrument. Now, there are two options here. You can make it to the order of a certain person, that means the amount will be payable only to a certain person, or it can be to the bearer of the instrument, which means that, let us say I have lent the money and I have the promissory note from the person to whom I have loaned the money, or to whom I have lent the money. So, I am in need of the money, I can give this promissory note to somebody else and get my money back, and that person at a later date can recover this money. So, in that case, it will be the bearer of the instrument. The second one we come to is the bill of exchange. So, this is an instrument in writing containing an unconditional order. So, bill of exchange is used, you know, to make payments, etc. For goods at a later date. Check, this is a bill of exchange drawn on a specified bank or a banker, and not expressed to be payable, it is payable after demand is made. What it means? Check is paid by a banker and not by an organization. Now, if you look at in the case of promissory note, the promissory note can be paid either by somebody identified by the person who has taken a loan, or he himself could be paying this amount. In the case of a check, this person paying the amount is actually the banker, and it is not that automatically the amount will be paid by the bank. He has to, the person who has to claim the payment has to demand the payment from the bank, which means he has to surrender the check and follow the requisite procedure to get the money from the bank. So, that's as far as the check is concerned. So, let's look at some of the non-negotiable instruments. So, as we say, the non-negotiable instruments are the ones which cannot be transferred, they cannot be negotiated, they will be honored only by the person to whom they are addressed. So, they cannot be honored in the demand mode. No, I mean, other than the person on whose order these instruments are made, nobody else can claim this, the payment or the amount. Some of the type of negotiable instruments will make this concept a little clear. Money order. So, money order, if it is in the name of a person, only that person can receive the money, and he cannot, you know, negotiate or transfer this amount to anybody else. Deposit receipts. You have fixed deposits or any kind of a deposit. This money will be only returned to the person who has deposited the amount, and these are not transferable. Share certificates. Share certificates are transferable subject to certain conditions. And that's why they are not freely transferable, because there is, if it is the share of a company, then the company has to agree to transfer the shares to the buyer. So, the seller as such can transfer the shares, but there is a process to it. So, it cannot be used freely as a negotiable instrument. And postal orders, again here, because the payments will only be due to the person on order, the person in whose favor the pay order has been made. So, we come to negotiations of instrument, negotiable instruments. What do we mean by negotiation? So, when a promissory note or a bill of exchange or a check is transferred to any person to make him the holder, the instrument is said to be negotiated. So, for example, I have taken a loan and I give a promissory note to a person. So, then I have negotiated the promissory note. Or the earlier example that I gave, that I am the person who gave the loan and I have exchanged this promissory note that I am holding with another person for a slightly lesser amount, because the person who has taken the loan, he is going to pay me after, let's say, 3 months, and I need the money right today. So, I have negotiated the promissory note by accepting a slightly smaller amount and transferring this promissory note to the person who has given me the money upfront. So, that's a negotiation. Same is the case with bill of exchange and check. Whenever you are transferring the check or bill of exchange, you are making the person, the holder, entitled to this payment, and that is when we say that you have negotiated the instrument. In case of bearer instruments, the negotiation can be made simply by the delivery of the instrument. So, if it's a bearer check, simply handing over the document is enough. Another example I would like to give you here is of a currency note. If you see any high value currency note, you will see that there is a promise by the governor, RBI governor, to say that I promise to pay the bearer of this note. Say if it's a 500 rupee note, he will say 500 rupees. So here you can see it's a promissory note, but it's a bearer note. So I can freely give this note to anybody, and the right to encash that 500 rupees lies with the bearer of the instrument. Now, the other case is the order instrument, where the instrument is having the name of the beneficiary or the person who can encash it. So, in case of the order instrument, the negotiation can be made by endorsement on the instrument and its delivery. So, here it's not as simple as just handing over a check. So, let us say that somebody has given you a check in your name and you wish to negotiate, then you will have to probably on a stamp paper or so make an endorsement and say that I am transferring the rights of this check to the new bearer. So, you have negotiated the instrument, and there are two aspects. You not only have to endorse the instrument, you physically have to deliver it. So, the negotiation is complete when both these conditions are met. We'll now look at the maturity of negotiable instruments. So, the maturity of a promissory note or a bill of exchange is the date on which it falls due. We talked about the promissory note and we said that the promissory note falls due 3 months down the line. That means the person who has taken the loan has said that I will pay you this money after 3 months. So, in that case, that the date which has been signified, or if they have just said after 3 months, then from the date of the promissory note, 3 months has to be counted, and after the 3 months are over, this promissory note matures. That means you can then go and encash it. There's something called as days of grace. So every promissory note or bill of exchange which is not presented to be paid on demand or at sight. Generally, we are saying on demand at sight means that you go and present and you get the money against it immediately. So, that is what we call it as on sight or presentation. That means you go and present the negotiable instrument, which is a proof or evidence that you own this money. So, in some cases, it is the third day after the day which is expressed to be payable. So, here it's it could be the time taken to for clearing of the instrument, etc. So after the, let's say 3 months was the period for maturity. So you will get the money actually after 3 months and 3 days. So that's what we mean by maturity, on the third day after the day on which it is expressed to be payable. What it means is that you need to present this instrument on maturity, but the payment shall not be immediate, as in case of a bearer instrument, and you will get it after 3 days. So it's not necessary that it has to be 3 days, but that is the grace period given. That means it cannot be more than 3 days. Let's look at promissory notes in more detail. So a promissory note is an instrument in writing containing an unconditional undertaking signed by the maker. Maker means the person who is borrowing the money to pay a certain sum of money to the order of a certain person or to the bearer of the instrument. So promissory note can be to the order of a person, where it is identifying a firm, a company or a person to whom the amount is payable, or it can simply be the bearer of the instrument. Both are valid. The parties to promissory note include the promissory. Promissory would be the person who actually is taking the loan or taking the money, the drawer or the maker. So it could be the promissory note is issued by a bank who stands as a guarantor. So the payee, promise, or the holder, and the endorser. So you can also have people endorsing this endorsement, as we said, is when somebody is transferring the instrument. So these become then the endorsers. The holder is the final person who is actually going to collect the payment against the negotiable instrument. What are the requirements of a promissory note? What are the mandatory requirements? So first, it has to be in writing. The promissory note must contain an express promise or clear undertaking to pay it. It should not be vague. So in terms of who it will be payable to, whether it is to the order or to the bearer, the date by which it will be paid, and the amount which will be paid. Because assume that I am giving a loan and there is an interest component. So while I have given a loan of 1 lakh rupees, it could be that after 3 months I am going to collect not 1 lakh but 1,10,000, just to give an example. So this has to be clearly spelled out. The time when the promissory note will mature, that means when the claim against the promissory note can be made, has to be clearly specified. So this document has to be very, very clear. So it should clearly mention the requirements for the receipt of money. So if there are any conditions that when a person comes to claim against this promissory note, if there are any specific requirement, this also should be mentioned on the promissory note. Requirements of a promissory note: a promise to pay contained in the note must be unconditional. So unlike some of the other instruments, here it's like a bearer check or like a currency note. There are no conditions to be satisfied. That means it is not against delivery of any goods or services or anything. It simply entitles the person to get this money. The conditions we talked about in the previous case could be things like, a person has to establish his identity, or he has to clearly show the person who has endorsed the promissory note in his favor. Other than that, you cannot have any conditions for repaying the money or claiming the benefit of a promissory note. The instrument should show on the face exactly who is liable to pay. So whether I have taken the loan, then whether I will be the person who will be paying it, or whether it is my banker who will be paying it, or whether it's my legal people who will be paying it, or my company which will be paying it. So this has to be clearly mentioned as to who is liable to pay this amount. Now If you look at the currency note, the example that we gave, the liability is taken by the government of India, the central government. So, RBI governor guarantees this money, and it is guaranteed that you will get this payment by the central government. The person who promises to pay must sign the instrument. So, let us say that in my case, my office, my firm is going to pay the amount after 3 months. I have taken the loan, I have given a promissory note. Then my office, whoever represents the office, so if it's a partnership firm, then the partner, if it's a private or a public limited company, then one of the directors has to sign the promissory note. So, whoever promises to pay has to sign the promissory note, otherwise the conditions are not valid. The amount undertaken to be paid must be definite, it should not be vague, and it should be mentioned in legal tender. So, clearly it has to be spelt out in money terms. So it cannot be like a barter, it cannot be for some goods or something like that. It has to be in money terms. So, what I said was, if I have taken a loan of 1 lakh rupees and I am going to get back after 3 months 1,10,000, this has to be clearly mentioned. So, whether it is going to be 1 lakh or 1,10,000 or something different, it has to be clearly specified on the promissory note. Let's look at bill of exchange. So, bill of exchange is an instrument, again, it's in writing, it's an unconditional order. So, again, like a promissory note, there are no conditions attached to it. This is a negotiable instrument which can be transferred from person to person. So, initially the person who issued the bill of exchange may no longer be in the picture, and the final person who is the bearer of the bill of exchange must have right to the payment without any conditions having to be fulfilled. It has to be signed by the maker. So again, if the bill of exchange is made by the bank or any financial institution, it has to be signed by them, because they are basically taking an undertaking that they will honor this instrument. Directing a certain person to pay the sum of money only to the order or the bearer of the instrument. So, here again you have both the conditions. You can have it paid to the order or to the bearer of the instrument. Some of the terms which we associate with the bill of exchange. So, when we say drawer is the creditor, the drawee is the debtor, and the payee is the receiver. So, these are the three parties of a bill of exchange. So, typically the drawer will be the bank or a financial institution which issues the bill of exchange. The drawee will be the person, the buyer, who promises to the bank that I will make this payment, and you issue a bill of exchange in favor of the seller for a certain amount. Normally it is made against an invoice. So, whatever is the amount payable against the invoice, for that amount a bill of exchange will be drawn. So, just to recap, the drawer will be the bank or a financial institution, the drawee will be a buyer, and the payee or the receiver will be normally the seller of the goods. So, there are three parties in a bill of exchange. This is compulsory. In promissory note, it can be two parties, because you can have just the person who has taken the loan who becomes the creditor. Yeah, so he promises to pay the amount. So, he stands a guarantor for the amount as well. So, now let's look at the conditions for acceptance of a bill of exchange. The acceptance of the bill of exchange has to be in writing. It must be signed by the drawer. So, imagine that a company which has issued a bill of exchange and it is payable by the bank, then bank is the drawer, and the instrument has to be signed by the bank. The acceptance must be completed by delivery of the bill to the holder. Means it's not only that you have completed the formality of making a bill of exchange, having it signed by the drawer, but then you have to hand over this instrument to the seller. So, a bill can also be accepted by the drawer on all or some of the several drawers. So, you can have a very large value bill which may not be covered by a single drawer, but it can be covered by a number of drawers. So, you may actually split the bills and you may have separate bill of exchange with a different drawer, that means different guarantors for the payment against this bill of, these total amount. An acceptance must be absolute and unconditional, because this instrument requires that the payment is unconditional.